Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
I invite you to join me in the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 47. If you have the Cornerstone app or would like to grab it, you can just grab the QR code. You'll be able to follow along in the notes on the app. If you have your Bibles, we'll be headed towards Ezekiel 47. Before we get to Ezekiel 47, Chris and Chris, welcome back from your time away. You guys were missed. Glad to have you back. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2 says this: "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." It says the darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the face of the waters. Face of the deep, face of the waters. There's a difference between the face of the deep and the face of the waters. A different word is used. The face of the water really has to do with the surface. And the face of the deep has to do with what's underneath. So the Spirit of the Lord hovering over the surface or the face of the waters, but there was darkness over the face of the deep. Isn't it marvelous what God said to that? Let there be light. Where there was a darkness covering the deep places, God said, let there be light. We look at that and we think, how powerful, how amazing is our God to just speak a word and everything changes. Let there be light. It seems to me this morning that the Holy Spirit does not want to just hover over the surface of our life. But this morning, God wants to touch you in deep places. He wants to not just surface, and we don't want just a surface relationship with God. But God wants to do a work in our lives this morning and touch some deep, deep places in our lives. What we really think, what we really feel, our insecurities, our questions, our sorrows, our frustrations. Things like, am I really loved? Am I really liked? Am I enough? Am I ever going to get this right? What would people think if they really knew me? Can God really use me? Does he even want to? Did he just get stuck with me because he has to love everyone? He doesn't want somehow the deep places of our life, those deep foundational things, the things that shape us, he doesn't want them to remain in darkness or be hidden in darkness. I believe the God who said, let there be light, is going to say, let there be light to some places in our lives today. I believe this morning God wants to do that. And when I say bring light to dark places, I really mean life. I don't mean exposure. Because there are people, but Scripture will talk about that men love the darkness lest they come to the light and their deeds are exposed. I'm not talking about exposure. I'm talking about freedom. When God said, let there be light, and when he says that to us today, I don't believe it's just illumination. I believe it's life. Let there be life. Scripture will tell us, in him was light, and that light was the life of men. It has to do with God wants to bring life to areas in our lives today. This morning, I want to speak about one of the most foundational understandings of our walk with Christ. It's found in Ezekiel chapter 47. That's where we're going to be now. It has to do with maturing as a believer, and it has to do with the Holy Spirit running through our lives. Here we go. Ezekiel 47, verse 1 says this: "Then he brought me back to the door of the temple. There was water." This is a vision Ezekiel's having. "There was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple towards the east, for the front of the temple faced east, and the water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar." Verse 2 says, "He brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around the outside to the outer gateway that faces east. There was water running from the right side. And when the man went out to the east with a line in his hand, he measured," so away from the temple, "he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters, and the water came up to my ankles." Verse 4 says, "And he measured," so another 1,000 cubits, "and brought me through the waters, and the water came up to my knees. And he measured 1,000, and he brought me through, and the water came up to my waist. And he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross. for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. And he said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? And he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. And when I returned, verse 7, there along the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and on the other. And he said to me, the water flows through the eastern region, goes down into the valley, enters the sea, the Dead Sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. Would everybody say healed? Healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the river goes will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there, for they will be healed. And everything will live wherever the river goes. It will be that fishermen will stand by it from En-Gedi to En-Goliam. There will be places for spreading their nets. The fish will be of the same kinds of fish that are in the Great Sea or the Mediterranean. Exceedingly many. But its swamps and marshes will not be healed. We'll come back to this point. Its swamps and marshes will not be healed. They'll be given over to salt along the bank of the river. On this side and that will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither. Their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month because their water flows. Loved ones, they will bear fruit every month because their water flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food and their leaves for medicine. So Ezekiel has this continued vision. Here he is at the temple, and there's water flowing underneath the door and around the gate and out. And he sees it flowing towards down towards the sea. Water coming from the temple. I've got those calls before. When we used to have a building on McKnight and 12th, I'd get the phone call, Barry, there's water in the temple. The pipe had burst. And we couldn't see it. Went down in the basement. We knew there was water problem because the ceiling tile was soaked and broken and fallen. We looked at the wall and the paint on the wall had actually bubbled out, and you could see the water inside the in between the paint and the drywall, and you just rip a little bit and water pours out. We could see where the water was coming. We could see its location, but we couldn't see its source. We couldn't, and this is like Ezekiel, see where it's coming from. We couldn't see its source. In fact, when we finally and eventually found the problem, that wasn't the source of the water, that was the source of the leak. The water doesn't come from that pipe. But we found its location, but that wasn't the source. And I think as we look at this passage, that the source, the temple is not the source. The temple is not the source of this life. The temple is not where the river, the stream, this water, where it originates. It does look like it's coming from the temple. But Ezekiel can't see where it originates. He can't see its source. Revelation chapter 22 will help us with that because it says this. He showed me a river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. The throne of God is where this river of life flows from, but Ezekiel could just see that it's leaking out of the temple. We have the Spirit of God within us. We have the life of the Spirit within us, but we are not the source. He is. And His life can flow through us. And in fact, it can appear like it's coming from us. And this is where people get into trouble. When they think that somehow, because they've showed up and done something and God's used them, that they're the source of life. It's where all kinds of trouble comes from. One of my favorite passages in Scripture, it's found in Acts chapter 3, verse 12. It's when Peter and John are at the temple. They come to the gate, beautiful. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I say, arise to a walk. The lame man is healed. He comes into the temple, jumping and leaping and praising God. And they think that it has something to do with Peter and John. They were the vessels. They are not the author of life. And Peter will say this in Acts chapter 3, verse 12. He said, essentially, why are you looking at us? Why are you looking so intently at us? As if by our own means, by our own power, our own righteousness, we've made this man walk. By our own power, our own godliness, we've made this man walk. You see, it's the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. He is the life giver. It says he brought me to the water and it came up to my ankles and to my knees and to my waist, and I couldn't cross. You'd have to swim, not be able to stand in this water. It's moving so fast, it's so deep, it's so wide. And he returned me to the bank, and there's many trees on both sides. And I know that there are many applications that have been talked out of this text. Preachers and songwriters and poets, and even a strong focus in the church years ago about getting into the river and jumping in and swimming and all things. I just don't think that's the application of this text, because I don't think that we are Ezekiel in this text. I think we're the temple. I don't think we're Ezekiel. I think we're the temple. The New Testament will teach us that. It will teach us that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. A couple places in Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16 and chapter 6 verse 19 will say, don't you know? Do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? And it'll go on to say in chapter 6 verse 19, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you're not your own? And it'll talk about living a holy lifestyle. But it's this, you are the temple. So very interesting, and this is what I want to bring us to this morning, and hopefully it will be both a confirmation and affirmation. Maybe for some it might be a realization that will shift the way we live and how we think about being Spirit-filled, Spirit-led people. When we talk about returning in the power of the Holy Spirit, it's so interesting that the depth of the river grows the further away from the temple it goes. The further away from the temple that it goes, the deeper and wider that it grows. It's not about the temple, it's about the river. It's not about the temple. God will use the temple, God will cleanse the temple, God will fill the temple with his glory. It's just simply not about the temple. It's about this river of life. I think it's almost a pretty small acknowledgement when we see this whole story and we see Ezekiel come and they're looking, where's the water coming from? And the man showing Ezekiel this in the vision, showing him, they acknowledge where it's coming from. Now I want to show you something where it goes. And the focus of this is taking him, look what happens as the river flows out from underneath the threshold. It starts out small and it has a wide influence. And it says that this water is alive. When the Bible talks about water being alive, it means that it's flowing. It's moving, that it's running. And I'm so convinced that when we allow the Spirit of God to flow out of our lives, sometimes in even insignificant ways, we think they're just so small. What difference does this make? The impact is far greater than we can ever imagine. And so far beyond us. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. In small ways, a word, a gesture, a phone call, a scripture, a prayer, an act of kindness, something Spirit-led. It doesn't have to be bada bing, bada boom, all the flash and dash. So just sincere, small, simple, natural, so it's supernatural. Steps of obedience, small steps of obedience that can change the destiny of someone or someone's. A few years ago, I had a conversation with a young man named Nate. Nate contacted me just looking for some financial assistance because he was going on a missions trip. He's going on a missions trip to China and contacted me and thought maybe I'd be able to help him a little. That wasn't the primary reason he was calling me. The primary reason was to say thank you. He said, Barry, when my dad was in high school, you led him to Christ. Now, Nate is being sent as a missionary to China. I led his dad to Christ when his dad was in grade 12. You just can't know how far things can reach. It's the river has got to flow from the temple, but the further it goes away, the wider, the deeper. So this man's family, I mean, it changed him, it shaped him. the life-changing power of the gospel. He's raised his kids to serve the Lord and he's off to the mission field. When it flows to the sea, it says that this, the waters are healed. We all said that, healed. That which was dead came to life. And everything, everywhere it goes, it brings life. Loved one, that is humanly impossible. The Dead Sea is dead. Do you know why they call it dead? Because it's dead. There's nothing living in it. When we were floating in the Dead Sea, our tour guide said, if you feel something touch your hand, it's your friend. It's not a fish. There's nothing in here. They're just trying to scare you. There's nothing in this water. Lowest place, to my understanding, lowest place on earth. Deepest place. No life. It's the lowest place on earth that can have no life. But life can come when the Spirit of God touches it. There are some pretty low places in people's lives. Dark, deep, low, that you think there can be no life there. I will tell you this, the Spirit of God can touch that. And there can be life. There can be healing. It says, however, the swamps and marshes, they're going to be given over to salt. And they won't be healed and they won't receive the life. Loved one, it's not enough to be near the Spirit of God. It's not enough to be near the river. We need to have it touch you. We need to have the Holy Spirit touch someone. I think it's so wonderful, and I really do. I sincerely mean it's wonderful when we can just be present with people. And sometimes I don't know what to do in the midst of sorrow and struggle and heartache and loneliness and whatever people may face, just to be present. Just go and be present. But it's got to be more than us just being present. Somehow there needs to be the presence and awareness of God. And I believe as his presence flows through us, as his Spirit flows through us, there can be hope and there can be joy. There can be peace. There can be favor just because you're there. Because there is a flow of the Spirit of God through your life with all the fruits, all the gifts, all the things. And I think one of the marks might be that I want to look at for my life is that every cashier wants me in their line. And that every boss wants me as an employee. And that every teacher wants me in their class. That every doctor wants me as a patient. That every barista wants me as a customer. Because everywhere we go, there is an overflow of life. And it's not that we have to do more. It's that there's something of life flowing through us. It's the Spirit that gives life. And not only does the Spirit give life, the Spirit sustains life. We saw when the river touches the water, it's healed. And now there's this abundance, this multitude of fish. Not only does it give life, but it sustains life. Not only is the water alive, it talks about these trees that growth, there's a fruitfulness. Every month there's fruitfulness. And it says, because the water flowed from the sanctuary, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, refiner's fire. Let me be a sanctuary, holy and fit for your service. That there'd be fruit for food and leaves for medicine and healing. And all this was because, look at the text, all this was because it flowed out of the temple. Listen to what Jesus said. John's Gospel, John chapter 7, he said this. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. This he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're going to pray. Here's the things I'm going to pray about this morning. For those here watching online, here in this room, for those who need God to touch them deeply. The Holy Spirit is not wanting to simply hover over the surface of your life, but rather to bring light and life to the deep places where you struggle, where everything seems dark, hopeless, areas of confusion, areas of worthlessness, areas of shame. You have believed a lie and he wants to speak the truth over you, value and worth. He wants to restore. Also, what I want to pray, We started with the Genesis account, and you would know Genesis a little further. There was the flood that took place. And it talks about the flood, that the rains came down, but the waters came up, that the fountains of the deep were broken up and the water rose. So it wasn't just the rain. The fountains of the deep were broken up. I'm going to pray today, we're going to pray, that those deep places in our lives that somehow have got hard or crusty or covered over, places where life needs to flow out of, that God would soften us, that it would soften our hearts, that there would be a transformation that takes place, and that in you, we talked about Jesus being broken, that there would be a brokenness out, in us. Healing flows out of brokenness. Break those things up, that there might be a flow of life. And when we think about the fountains of the deep being broken up, I'm not praying for a flood. See, a flood is so destructive. When we think about a few years ago, the Bow River, when our kids were little, we never called it the Bow River, as we were teaching about water safety and all that. Anytime we were in there, I didn't ever call it the Bow River. I called it the Mighty Bow. Oh, that's the Mighty Bow. That's the Mighty Bow. We talk about how many, you know, how dangerous it is to just the power of the river. But we saw when the floods came, the destruction that took place. It overflowed its banks. Not praying for anything of destruction where there's an overflow, where it's just out of control. I'm praying for the power of a river to flow to you and flow through you, because I believe God wants to touch some deep places in our lives this morning. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we open our lives to you, the very deep places in our lives, God, and we don't want a surface relationship with you. Creator God, I pray for each person, God, that you would say again, let there be light. That every dark place, every wounded place, every broken and shattered place, that you would speak life, you would speak light by the power of your Spirit even now. And your touch would bring wholeness and healing and freedom and liberty. God, where there's brokenness, would you bring healing? Where there's despair, would you bring hope? Where there's fear, God, would you bring courage? Breathe courage right now. Where there has been failure, bring grace. Where there's sin, would you bring forgiveness? God, where there's oppression, would you bring justice? Where there's bondage, bring freedom. Where there's confusion, oh God, bring your peace. Where there's sorrow, bring joy. Where there's death, bring life. Let there be light. In Jesus' name. Father, may your life flow through us. It's not all about us. To minister to others through the life-changing power of the gospel. God, and so in this world in which we live, by your grace and by your power, by your Spirit, by your strength, by your enablement, by your clothing us, where there is brokenness, may we bring healing. Where there is despair, may we be a voice of hope. Where there is fear, God, may we bring courage. Where there is failure, God, help us to be a people of grace. Where there is sin, may we give a message of forgiveness. Where there is oppression, may we stand for justice. Where there is bondage, God, use us to bring people to freedom. Where there is confusion, God, by your Spirit, may we bring peace. Where there is sorrow, may we be vessels of joy. Where there is death, may we point them to life. God, through us, let there be light in the name of Jesus. May you receive all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Maybe you're here today, or maybe you're watching online. You say, Barry, I don't have that river of life within me. I haven't experienced that. I haven't asked Jesus into my life. You've talked lots about this river of life, but I haven't walked in that. I haven't experienced that. I've never given my life to Christ. I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that right now by praying a prayer. We acknowledge that Jesus died on the cross. He gave his life for us, paid the penalty for our sin, and he rose triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. By believing in the Son of God, we will have life in his name. And so we're going to pray a prayer. just inviting Jesus to be the Lord of our life. I also am keenly aware and run into people all the time who talk about, I used to go to church, or I used to walk with the Lord, or I used to follow Jesus, but you know, it's been a long time. And so many of those I talked to, there was not a conscious choice. There was just somehow I wandered. Somehow I stopped. Somehow it happened, and I haven't. It's not that you ever maybe stopped believing, but you somehow, somewhere, you stopped following. Maybe following at a distance. You've never denied Christ, but you'd say, I need to get right with God. I'm going to pray with you too. And whether you've prayed this, whether you're going to pray this for the first time or the first time in a long time, I invite you to echo these words as I pray them. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you would pay the penalty for my sin by dying on the cross in my place. I believe you rose to life again and now offer me a new life with you. I ask you to forgive me for my sin and cleanse me from the inside out. I invite you into my life as my Lord and Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to live for you all the days of my life. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you're here this morning, if you're watching online and you prayed that prayer, say, I'm accepting Christ into my life, or I'm rededicating my life. One of the most important things you can do is tell someone. Tell someone that you prayed that prayer, who will walk alongside you and stand with you and believe with you for a newness of life that Christ offers.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.